You're listening to the Copywriter On Call podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Gillis, copywriter, word magic maker, and owner of What Sarah Said. On this podcast, you'll feel empowered to show up online in a way that has you saying, "That's so me." Let's get started. Welcome back to another episode of the Copywriter On Call podcast. I am your host, Sarah Gillis, and I am clocking in on call today for a special episode. I am celebrating 1 year of the Copywriter On Call podcast. And to help me celebrate, I am welcoming my personal brand photographer, who also happens to be my bestie, Amanda. Hi, friend. Thanks so much for being here.
Hello. How are you?
I'm good. I'm so glad that you're here and so excited that you're here to help me celebrate.
Same. I'm so excited. I can't believe it's been a year.
I know. It's bananas. It's kind of crazy. I remember when I was first deciding to do a podcast, I'm pretty sure I voxed you and I was like, yeah, I'm just going to do a podcast and it's going to be fun and I'm going to figure it out.
A week later, you were like, okay, it's done.
You're funny. Yeah.
Here's everything.
Gosh, not quite. I mean, it took some time, but I mean, I am a person who like jumps. Like once I decide I'm going to do something, I'm going to jump. So anyways, before we get any further, I want you to tell the people who you are, what you do, and what you love about what you do.
Yeah. Okay. Hi, I'm Amanda. I am Arc Creative Co., ARC Creative Co. I'm a personal brand photographer. I do a lot of photography and videography for personal brands and also commercial brands, bigger brands, product-based, personal-based, all the things. So I was a wedding and portrait photographer for 6 years and then niched down into corporate and branding in 2021 and absolutely love it. I get to work with the most amazing people. I get to meet the most amazing people. That's how I met Sarah. Is she hired me and flew from Canada, to Texas to have a branding session. It was amazing. And I get to support businesses, small businesses and big businesses in the best way that I know how, which is through photos and video. And it's the greatest thing ever.
Love it. I love it. So yeah, you're all the way in Texas and I'm up here in South Dakota. And it's like, I count myself blessed if I'm able to see you like 3 times a year.
Yeah.
But I think it's just so funny to think about how business brought us together. And a lot of it goes, you know, credit to Maddie, because she was our coach who brought us together in her mastermind program. But that's when we first met. And I think that it's been, what, 2 years? 3 years?
3 years.
3 years. Crazy. Yeah. Okay. Bananas.
I know. Crazy.
Bananas. 3 years since then. And I'm just, you hired me first to write your about me copy. And then I hired you right back. And I'm like, I'm going to come to Texas and we're going to do the thing. We're going to do all the photos. And I brought my mom with me and you had Ben with you and you guys weren't married yet. And it was just, it's so funny to think about all the life that we've lived together since.
There's been a lot of life. A whole lot of life.
So I'm so excited for you to be here today and to kind of turn the tables and interview me. It'll be kind of fun to look back at what's been going on in the last year.
I'm excited. I'm so excited. Are you ready for your first question?
Yes. Okay.
I feel like I need the microphone.
I know.
Yeah.
The game show host. Or like the Miss America pageant. Like,
right. Yes. Like what's your
This is my Miss America moment, guys.
what have you learned the last year of your business?
Oh, I mean, I think I've really stepped into what I want to be doing in the last year. I think that, I mean, it's crazy to me that I started out as a copywriter coming out of the classroom, coming like into business ownership in the pandemic. And it was a crazy time in my life because it was post pandemic layoff from a job. And then I took a teaching job so I could kind of just stay afloat so we could pay our bills. And my husband's hours were being cut when it came to, he was working in healthcare and his hours were being cut and my job was gone. And all of a sudden we had to figure out what to do. And so while I was teaching and kind of just took that job out of desperation, I really loved it and didn't see myself leaving the classroom. But while I was building this business on the side, I was like, wow, there is a way to make a living as a writer. And I'm still feeling that like pinch me moment all the time. Like I'm still, even just, you know, thinking about the last year, I've really been able just to work with photographers, and that is my bread and butter, my happy place. And I've stepped so much more into that in the last year. And so I think I've learned that you can continue to evolve as a business owner, and that you can continue to step into what brings you joy and what lights you up, and that it doesn't have to feel like I'm saying no to business. It doesn't have to feel like I'm, you know, choosing to serve someone is not choosing to serve someone else. It's more of like, okay, well, this is the business owner I want to be. And so I feel like the last year of business, especially, I mean, since the podcast launched and all of the things, I feel like it's really crystallized for me. Like, this is who I want to work with. This is the type of business owner I want to be.
Yeah. I love that. And I it's been such a awesome thing to like watch you go through all of the phases of like niching kind of and like finding like, oh my gosh, I really do love this. Like, I love writing for photographers. So obviously I'm biased. I love photographers.
For sure. You all have the most fun.
What have you learned in the last year since starting your podcast?
So I initially, when I was like, I'm going to do a podcast, I'm pretty sure I also said, I'm going to do a video podcast. Cause if we're going to do it, we're going to go all in. And I remember telling my husband that, and he's like, you're going to what? I'm like, yeah, I'm going to like show up on video, and I'm going to like grow this YouTube thing at the same time as I'm building, like, you know, I'm going to be on Apple Podcasts and I'm going to be on Spotify. You can search for me and find me. And like initially I was like, this is fine. It's fine. It's going to be great. I'm going to figure it out. And then like, I remember when the first episode launched and when the trailer was out there, I was like, oh my gosh, you can really search me. Like I knew that it was going to be a thing, but until you're like typing your name into Apple Podcasts, cause hello, like, of course I did that and see things like pop up. It's like, wait a minute. This is real. And it's not just me talking into the void. It's just like, you know, there are people out there on the other side that are like, cool, listening. I really like that. Yeah. Listening. And what's been really bizarre is I've had probably just like two or three clients quote me to me, which has been bizarre.
Like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. Like they're like, I remember this one episode where you said that, like, this literally just happened to me on a discovery call this week. I was like, what is going on? This is bizarre. It's like, I'm sitting here quoting Grey's Anatomy and people are like quoting me to me. And I'm like, this is bizarre. This is crazy. But at the same time, like there's a learning moment in there, right? Like I think a lot of us are like imposter syndrome and thinking like, well, who's going to listen to me? Who's going to like pay attention to what I have to say? And spoiler alert, people are like, people are going to pay attention, and you do have worthy things to say. And whether you have one listener or 1,000 or 1 million, people will listen and people want to hear what you have to say, and they will attach meaning to it, and they will bring ideas that you bring forth into their own businesses. And that is like such a responsibility. It is also super flattering, and juggling those two things is still bizarre. It's still one of those things that I never really truly believed would happen, but thought like, man, it'd be cool if like some people listen and liked it. Like that was my bar was so low. And so I think that this past year in the podcast has taught me just keep raising the bar, like keep raising the bar and think of what if it's amazing, instead of like, oh my gosh, what if I like screw up and it's horrible and nobody listens and it's like crickets. What if it's amazing? And it really has been.
Yeah. I feel like getting out of the like doomsday mindset is so hard as an entrepreneur, because it's like before you start something, you're like, does anybody even care? Like, am I just going to do all this for no reason at all? And then it's on the other side of it, which like you now are on the other side of it, like hearing people quote you back to yourself. You're like, oh, okay. Great. I'm glad that worked out.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, it was a lot of time, right? It was a lot of time investment. It was some money investment for sure. Like, shout out to Jocelyn, who helped me launch the thing in the first place. And my husband now is my podcast editor, and that's been a beautiful thing. I was nervous about that. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to be like the boss for my husband, telling him to edit stuff and get things posted on time and all of the whatnot. But it's been beautiful. It's been wonderful. Shout out to him as well. But like, it's been a time investment, a money investment, but also like this big leap of faith that yeah. like there will be people who listen. There will be like the feeling I have in my heart of like, I'm putting myself out there. And I mean, I love to talk about showing up online as yourself, but holy buckets, when you are the podcast host, like that's all you do. You show up online as yourself, and there's nobody else to like cover you up or to, you know, carry you through. It's just you, and it yeah. feels really bare and vulnerable, but really cool too.
Yeah. Well, and then you bring that into your like coaching and teaching stuff, mm-hmm. and you get to tell people like, show up online, be vulnerable, be authentic. I do it. You can do it also, because yeah. you do it. Mm.
That permission piece I think is huge. Like I can't tell people to show up as themselves if I'm not exercising that myself. And oh, yeah. totally. It would feel so inauthentic for me to be just like, everybody needs to like be who they are online, but I'm just going to hide over here. That's right. Cool.
Yeah. I'll be back here behind yep. the computer screen. Not showing up.
100%.
How have your offers changed over the years? I know you've had several offers. You do the copywriting stuff, like where you've done one-on-one, you've done podcast stuff, you've done story sale, you've done all of this stuff. How have those things evolved over the last couple of years?
It's been crazy to see. Like, I never would have thought that I would be here where like I have an offer suite that like people talk about, like business owners talk about this. Yeah. And I would always be like, wow, I wonder what that's like. I wonder what it's like to like be doing like different things every day, but to have constantly like people being like, oh, I like this thing. I'm going to choose to work with you in this way versus that way. Like when mm-hmm. I started, it was like, hi, please pay me.
Yeah. Like one
thing. Yeah. May I please write for you? I will write anything, everything, whatever you need. And yeah. now it's like, I will write for you in very specific ways. You can work with me at very specific price points, and mm-hmm. I can serve you in multiple ways. And so I think that's been crazy. On the website copy side, that's like been the dream of my heart, like to grow that piece, because I love to write website copy from start to finish, or to polish website copy from start to finish. Mm-hmm. And that was like a secret that I never really shared out loud, at least in the first few days of business. And by days, I mean like years, because it was like, who am I to say I want to write a whole website? Who yeah. am I to like step into that space when, I mean, I have an English and communications background, but like when it comes to copywriting and website copy, like it's storytelling in a different way. And so as a storyteller, I felt confident, but as a website copywriter, that's a different flex. That's a different muscle. And so to see it transition from, let me just try this page. Like that's how you and I started working together. Yeah. Like, let me just write this page for you, to let me write, you know, this website for you. Let me polish your whole website. Let's work together on a long-term basis. All of those things, again, have been pinch me moments of like, this is what I wanted to do and I was afraid to say out loud. And so I think that's really bizarre. I also like, I tried VIP days for a hot while, like a hot minute. There were, I mean, it was like 18 months, maybe 2 years almost, where VIP days were my jam. Yep. And now I'm like, you know what? VIP days are kind of burning me out.
Yeah.
Because like forcing the creativity to happen within a certain amount of time on a certain day is so hard. And especially since I've niched down, like, I don't want this to come out wrong. Like, all photographers are different, but there mm-hmm. are pieces that are similar, right? Like if someone shoots families, and I write for a family photographer 5 times a year, there are some pieces and parts that are similar, but I can't bring the same copy to the table for everyone. Like, that's right. not going to serve my client. That's not going to help them to achieve their goals in business. It's not going to attract the ideal client for each of them. Mm-hmm. And so in order to be creative, I had to like let go of the VIP day model and say, look, I'll give you a week. You get a week of me. And if I wake up on a Tuesday and I feel great and I feel creative and everything's flowing, you might get your stuff sooner. But if I wake up on a Tuesday and I'm not feeling it, then guess what? There's Wednesday and there's Thursday. And it just gives me so much more freedom and it gives the client a better product in the end. So giving myself the permission to be like, okay, I can move away from this like quick delivery model of one day and move into a 1 week structure. That has been phenomenal.
Yeah. I mean, and that's like why we started our businesses, is to be able to like be creative when we want to be creative, right? Like nobody wakes up and is creative every single day of their life. Like if you're exhausted, you're not creative.
Yeah.
So if you're exhausted and you're trying to write for somebody, like it's not gonna work. It's not gonna work.
100%. And I was like waiting for somebody to like a boss to tell me, well, maybe you should switch this. But like when I look in the mirror, I'm the freaking boss. Like I'm the one who has to make the choice. Yep. And I remember having many a conversation with you about saying, okay, this just isn't working. Like, I'm just not feeling it. And you being like, so change it. And I'm like, what does that mean? What does that mean? Yeah. Like, what do I change it to? And like, I already have all this messaging out there. How do I shift it? How do I pivot? And you're like, you do that for other people. And so it was just a matter of like getting out of my own way and like saying, Sarah, guess what? You built this thing. You can build it again. You can build it in a different way. You can change the structure. You can change what you've built. You're giving them the same product in the end. It's just the mode is different.
Yeah.
The way in which you're conducting it is different. And it took, I think, you and Sabrina, our coach, pushing me and being like, what if there's another way? What if it's not burning it down and then building it up? What if it's just a slight change?
Yeah. Like, isn't that so crazy that like we are our own bosses? Mm-hmm. And that's so difficult to understand, like that you can change the things, even if they're working well, because like VIP days were working well for you.
Yeah.
They were financially, and like you were booking them and they were great and everybody was happy with them. It's so difficult. It's so easy to change things when it's not working, like on that level.
Yeah.
When you're not booking or whenever, you know, you just need to change it for schedule reasons or whatever. But when it's working, but then it's not working here, it's so difficult. You're like, oh, but I don't want to change it, but I do.
Yeah.
I need to
change
it. Yeah.
100%. And I mean, you're right. Like financially by the books, everything was working beautifully. Like it was exactly what I wanted. I was able to like book a few, raise my price, book a few more, raise my price. And like, that was a posture I was continuously in. And I paid the price. Like my clients never paid the price. I paid the price, and I wasn't willing to do it anymore. And like, I needed that push to be like, what if it could be different?
Yeah.
And I'm so glad I'm here and in this kind of a container versus that one. So that's been one major change. I think the other piece is like when I first launched a group coaching program, all I had was crickets. Like all I heard was nobody. And I remember boxing you in a panic and being like, nobody wants to do anything. Everyone is saying no, thank you. Everyone is like, there was nothing. There was no comments. There was no likes. There was no enrollment. There were like people who would be in my DMs and be like, can you tell me more about this? And I'd be like, oh my gosh, it's happening.
Yes, I will.
And then I would tell them and they'd be like, okay, thanks. And I was like, what am I doing? Oh, I remember like panicking. And that was last two Junes ago. Cause last year, June is when my first run of Story Sale like actually happened. Like it actually did the thing. And I actually like had people. And I remember when I first started working with Sabrina, our coach, she told me like, Why do you want to work with me? I'm a photographer. And I'm like, yeah, girl, that's exactly why. Like I need you to help me speak to people like you. Like, and I need your knowledge of building a container for people to grow within. And then I think when she realized that that was my goal and that that's what I needed help with, she's like, oh, I got you. I can help you with that. But I remember feeling like, I already failed. Why should I try this again? Like the first time I tried to do this, and obviously it was significantly different than what StorySale looks like now. But like that first failure, quote unquote, felt like so defining and so like, well, who am I? I better not do this again because nobody will ever be interested. And it took lots and lots of Vox messages from you and from Sabrina and just encouragement from other business owners that are in our circle that to say like, just because something didn't work once doesn't mean it won't work again. And it doesn't mean that like that product wasn't right, that, you know, didn't fit. It's just, maybe it needs to be changed or communicated differently, or there's some sort of a learning process that comes from quote unquote failing. And the launch container, the launch like exhaustion of it all totally blinded me to any hope, any opportunity to like move forward and serve. So I'm so grateful that like y'all picked me up off of my, you know, floor and said, let's try again and let's try differently.
Yep. We got you. I'm so glad that you tried again too. Like,
yeah.
Think about all of the people that would have missed out on being served by you if you didn't try again.
Yeah, 100%. And like, they've served me right back. Like, it's been a mutual like learning experience. I count myself so freaking gifted and blessed to like have these women in my corner and to have nurtured them and to see where their businesses are now. Even the people who are in the program right now, like to see the confidence that they're building as they have, you know, fresh website copy that feels like them, and to see that confidence change the way that they show up online has been phenomenal. And I never would have like taken that leap again had like everybody in my circle not been like, Sarah, get over yourself. You need to try again.
I'm so glad you did.
Oh yeah. It was, I mean, there's a lot of mindset stuff wrapped up in that stuff. Launching is hard. Launching will always be hard. I think that we put a lot of pressure on ourselves as business owners, and you and I have talked about this. Like, I don't want to launch ever. What if I just opt out of launching?
Yeah.
But I think that like the way that I launch now has changed significantly because of that experience. Because of the failure, quote unquote, the way that I launch now is different and it's way more strategic, but it's also like, I did my best. Like there's a piece to it. It's the right people will come. The universe will bring the right people. And I have faith in my product and I believe in the experience. And so I'm ready when the people are.
Yeah.
And that's a totally different posture than like the scarcity mindset of like, oh my gosh, nobody's doing anything.
Yeah. Well, and I think that the mindset is what attracts people to you also. Like when you have the scarcity mindset, that never works like ever in the history of launching ever. Anybody launch something like with that mindset, it's been overwhelming and exhausting on them, but also like, it doesn't usually work and they don't usually book or, you know, have people accept their offers. But when you come at it with a, like from a place of, okay, like I'm going to put this out here and the right people will come. That's when everything happens and it's beautiful to watch.
Yeah.
And it's good for your heart.
Yeah. I think that seeing it happen for other people first, like when I was building up StorySale in a different way, like when I was working hard to figure out, okay, what would my ideal StorySale program look like? Like seeing other people in our circle step out and say, look, I have this thing. It's really cool. I would love for you to be a part of it, but it's up to you. And just watching that posture, that changed everything for me.
Yeah. You're like, oh, wait, light bulb.
Yeah. Like there's a different way we can do this. Yeah. 100%. 100%. I think the other thing that I never would have done in the last year, had I not niched down to photographers, is launch my course. And I think that Words That Click has been such a beautiful experience for me to like step back into teacher mode, like put on that teacher hat again, but in a different way that feels like I get to be the boss. Like, yeah. I'm not handed curriculum standards and said, here you go, teach. It's like, how can I best coach photographers to write for themselves, but to not feel alone in doing it?
Yeah.
And had I not worked with you, had I not worked with Brittany, our mutual friend, had I not worked with a lot of different photographers that I started, you know, meeting very early in my business, but eventually, like, they were friends first and then became clients, right? Yeah. You and I were friends first and then we were clients. And it's just seeing that change and grow gave me the confidence to be like, okay, I can probably do this. I can step back into teaching, even though teaching an online course in the traditional sense for college students totally burned me out.
Yeah.
I knew that there had to be another way that I could do it. Like, I had to figure out, how can I create a course? How can I teach, quote unquote, a course and not feel tied to my computer, not feel like I was sacrificing family time, not feel like I was serving my students at the expense of myself. And to be on the other side of that and to say, look, I did that. Yeah. And it's a thing out there that people are buying and that people are finding value in. That's crazy. I mean, I was told all the time as a teacher by my students, we pay your paycheck. And it's like, ooh. It's like, well, technically the state pays me, but I guess, like, if there's no students, there's no teachers.
Right.
And so they used it as a way to say, like, you wouldn't be here without us. And that initially was like, ugh, icky. Yeah. But it's also true. Like, mm-hmm. And it's true in a non-icky way with this. Like, if photographers didn't raise their hand and say, Sarah, I need help with this, I wouldn't do it. Like, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't do the course. I wouldn't do the programs. I wouldn't do the copywriting. And so, yeah, the students inside Words That Click are paying my salary, but it's because they find the value in what I'm doing versus, yeah, I have to take English because it's required and, right, you're the only one teaching it.
Yeah.
It's different. Yeah. And freeing myself, I think, from that, like, that ick, freeing myself from that burnout of like what it looked like to be in the classroom or in the online classroom. That was a hard process. I fought against like stepping back into teaching, stepping into education as a business owner. I fought it for a long time, which is bizarre to think about right now, because obviously that's the direction my business is heading and I'm happy about it, but I fought real hard. I'm like, nah, I'll just write for businesses. It's fine. Like, I don't need to teach. I'm not going to educate. I'm not going to coach. I'm not going to, you know, step into that online education world. And now that I'm here again, it was all like the podcast was the start of it. And now that I'm here, it's like, oh, why did I fight against this for so long? Why did I think that I couldn't redefine what it looked like for myself?
I mean, I think you probably needed a minute to heal too, you know, like after all of the things that happened, like everything during COVID, getting laid off, like all of that stuff, like, and just teaching in general, teachers are like the least appreciated, like business owners, the least appreciated profession in the history of time.
Yeah.
So to go from that was your only experience in education and teaching to like, oh, I'm going to do it again. Your heart and body were probably like, no, we're not.
No, we're not.
Do you not remember? So getting over the hump of, you know, the fear of doing that again and it ending up the same way.
Yeah.
Now you're on the other side of it and you can be like, okay, yeah, there are more than one ways to do this. And this doesn't have to be traumatic.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be traumatic. And it doesn't have to feel like I'm compromising everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what are you most looking forward to with what Sarah said?
Oh, well, in, gosh, by the time this airs, I will have spent a week in Washington, D.C. serving two photographers through a beta offer that I'm testing called Copywriter on Location. And it's where I travel to someone, to a photographer, and I watch them shoot. I watch them photograph a session, and I write website copy for them. And we have kind of a informal coaching session, typically over a meal, whether it's dinner or lunch. And then the next day, it's like a 2-day experience. And then the next day we get together and write a welcome sequence for their email list. And so it's like this all in one container. It's combining my favorite parts of Story Sale into a 2-day intensive experience. And I'm doing it twice in Washington, D.C. So A, Washington, D.C. is a place I've always wanted to go. I've never been. I have a client there who you and I both know and love. And she helped me to kind of position myself as, help me test this offer. I want to see if it has legs. And right away, I had two people raise their hands and be like, I want that. Can we do that? Let's do that. And I remember looking at my husband and saying, I literally made my dreams come true. Yep. And he's like, well, of course you did. But like, your girl is like a Washington Capitals hockey fan, like diehard. And the fact that I get to go to Washington, D.C. during hockey season, and I get to see my team play, and I get to serve two phenomenal women, and I get to spend time with Natasha, our friend and our client. I am like, are you kidding me? This is my life. And so by the time this airs, that experience will have wrapped up. And I hope that it's, you know, as phenomenal as I think it will be. All of the plans and the groundwork are there for it to be phenomenal, but I'm so excited to see what comes out of that. And my hope is that what comes out of that is a beautiful, transformative new offer that I can do a couple times a year to help me really serve the client well in a way that also fills my bucket. Like, cause I get to watch people do what they love, and that's so fun, but I also get to experience their place with them and to be by their side as they serve their clients and to work with them in person. Usually I'm like the girl offline who's like got her AirPods in and is just typing away. And so to be able to like work with someone in real time, that feels like revolutionary. Like, why haven't I tried to do this before?
Yeah.
So I'm really excited to see how that turns out.
I think like I'm already ready for the boxes of like before you go, during your trip, and then after your trip, of it being like, okay, this is how I do things now. This is it. Yeah. Like we're doing this and we're offering it, and here are the locations I want to go to, and like all it's gonna be so, so amazing.
Yeah. And I mean, like obviously all of that wouldn't be possible without my husband holding down the fort at home and like my parents stepping in to help with hockey practice. Cause yes, hockey's not even over yet. Like hockey's a year round thing around here. Yeah,
it's never over.
And so like, if my village wasn't like helping me to do this, it wouldn't be possible. And obviously whether or not this ever happens again, I'll need them too. Like I'll need the village to keep serving, keep helping me do this. But that has me so excited for what could possibly be in the future for what Sarah said.
Yeah. And it's like what, in like a week?
Yeah. I leave in 6 days. Yeah.
I'm so excited. Okay. Tell me about this new thing that you've just posted. What, like 2 days ago?
Yeah.
Tell me about What Sarah Reads.
Yeah. So What Sarah Reads is like a dream that's been in my heart for a really long time, and one that I never spoke out loud until probably about a year and a half ago. And I remember telling you, like, I have this crazy idea. What if I opened up a bookstore? And you're like, immediately, yes, do it. And I remember being like, I wonder if she realizes like how much influence you have. Because when you were like immediately on board, I'm like, Oh, bless. That means I actually should do this. I should probably think about it. Yeah. Like, it wasn't just me asking some, you know, casual friend. It was me asking you and you being like, yeah. And so once you said, this is a great idea. Like, once I shared it with you, and then I shared it with my husband, and I shared it with my mom, and I started to like step into that space, I was like, okay, well, let's just see what the universe says about it. Like, let's just see what kind of energy I can put out there and say, this is a dream I have. If I'm supposed to do it, let's make it happen. And I was working with a client on retainer, and they told me, they asked me to write an article for them about this program through Startup Sioux Falls, which is like our entrepreneurship hub here in Sioux Falls. And I was like, oh, maybe I should try and do this. Like, it's a business accelerator program. I'm like, okay, well, maybe I should try and like, just, I'll float the idea. I'll see if they even think it has legs. Guys, it had legs. They said, we want you to participate in this 12-week program for free to grow the thing, to take your idea from this tiny little pipe dream to like an actual thing. And it, this was right after I hired Sabrina to like help me build out stories, to help me like grow this group coaching program that had failed the year before. And I remember sending her a Vox and saying, Sabrina, I haven't even had time to tell you about this yet, but there's this opportunity that just fell in my lap. What do I do? And I remember saying the same thing to you, being like, oh my gosh, I haven't even told Sabrina yet. And what do I do about all these plans? And what am I supposed to say yes? And you're like, you say yes.
Say yes.
You say yes. Yes. And like, bless Sabrina. She said the same thing. She's like, girl, this is the universe knocking. Like, hello, walk through the door. And so I did. I walked through the door. I did this 12-week program. I met some great people. And all of these people were like, that's a really great idea.
Yep.
And I was like, oh my gosh, the entrepreneur community thinks this is a great idea. The like entrepreneur gurus in our area think this is a great idea. So I'm like, okay, well, let's just see what Sarah Reed's could be. And after that, I kind of said, okay, universe, I'm going to do this story sale thing for a hot minute. I'm going to launch my group coaching program and I'm going to see where it goes. And then I'm going to see what happens. And everything started to fall into place. So what Sarah Reed's is coming soon. It is a mobile book trailer that will be branded beautifully, like wrapped on the outside and like freaking pink and cute. And it's going to be awesome. And it will serve creative and inspired women in Sioux Falls. And I will be able to like pop up at places around Sioux Falls, whether it's a farmer's market or an arts festival, or even just like a baby shower or like a book club. Like, I get to just go to places and serve people and sell books. And all of those books will be hand selected and curated by me to like be that inspiration or that escape that we as women so desperately need. And so like, whether it's like spicy fantasy or like romance or personal development, like there's pieces and parts of all of that in us, and we need all of that nurtured as women. And so seeing all of the dominoes fall into place, like I have a trailer now. I literally have one, and it was free. It was free. I was looking at almost an $8,000 bus to like make this happen. And when that didn't pan out, I was like, well, I guess the universe is saying it's not the right time. And then this trailer literally just fell in my lap. My dad's like, yeah, your uncle has one. And I'm like, what? And so, and now like to see all of the, like, I've visited the trailer a couple times, and like to see my vision of it pan out and come to life. Like, the only thing that I haven't done yet is actually gone to the bank and said, hi, I need this money. Yeah. So that's the only thing left. That's the only thing, quote unquote, standing in my way. And that's a big thing. I'm not going to lie. It's a big thing. but it's certainly not the $40,000 that I thought I would need to invest in this business to get it off the ground. When you have a trailer that is free and you need to have it wrapped and put some shelves in it, that buy-in is so much lower than I need to buy a bus and completely retrofit it and make sure it runs and all of the things. And so I think that, long convoluted answer, what I'm trying to say is what Sarah Reads is a dream and now it's happening. And like, I'm literally months away from like putting books in a trailer and bringing it to Sioux Falls. It's bananas. It's bananas.
I am so excited. I cannot even. I think I remember when you boxed me and I was listening to it and I couldn't box you back fast enough. I literally like, you know, when you're listening to a box, you have to like listen to it all the way through. I think I was like, I wanted to stop it and just like scream into the phone, like, yes, yes, of course. Of course, it's a great idea. I love it. Yeah. I'm so excited for you. And I'm so excited for what Sarah Reads to just like evolve and grow and be the thing that like helps women, because that's like you at your core is like you are women centered business. Like you love to help women. So
yeah,
I'm excited to see you do that through books.
Yeah. I'm excited to see what the journey entails. And I've already like, the comments and the positive feedback I've already gotten like just in the past week has been like, pinch me. Are you kidding me? Like there's people who are like, I'm putting this on my South Dakota bucket list. There's people who are like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to come. Let me know when you open. And yep. Oh my gosh, this is a real thing that like, I hope in my heart of hearts, I hope it serves people. And I hope it's a fun like extension of what I already do. But I, the fact that people are excited about it continues to just blow my mind and make me feel all the feels, all the feelings,
all the feelings.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. Tell me what it's like to show up as yourself online.
Most days it's really good. Most days it feels really good. I think a lot of my 20s and some of my early 30s felt like, who am I? How do I want to operate within the world? I mean, when I got married in 2010, like literally the ring went on and I was like, we should have kids someday. And my husband looked at me and was like, I thought you didn't want kids. And so like, I feel a little bit like that. Like the fact that I show up online and that's a big portion of my business. Like I never saw that coming, just like when the wedding ring went on and the kids popped in my brain. But I can't imagine my life without kids. And I can't imagine my life without being myself.
Yeah.
And it's crazy to me that it took owning a business, starting a business, and being on the cusp of starting another one, that like it took that to make me say, you know what, this is who I am. And this is what I have to offer. And this is the life I want to live and the space I want to occupy. It's crazy to me that it took all of this to get me here.
Yeah.
I never saw it coming. As a teacher, I was like, I was the girl who, if I was teaching poetry, I would put on like a boho outfit and go teach poetry. And then the next week when I was teaching research papers, I'd wear a blazer and be all like, you know, official and researchy. And the fact that I don't have to do any of that trying on anymore, like I'm me all the time. And that's a really beautiful thing. But it's also like vulnerability hangover is for sure real. Like, and I think that I never would have understood that part of it had I not realized I can't walk the walk if I don't talk the talk.
Yep.
Yeah. I can't ask my clients to show up as themselves if I am not doing it myself. And so I think that showing up online as myself feels more and more like just normal, regular life every day. But it certainly didn't start out that way. And it certainly is something I never saw coming.
I think it can be so difficult, especially because like we're women. So like 1 week we don't feel good. Mm-hmm. We feel great. The next week we feel like hermits, you know, like, but to honor that in your journey of entrepreneurship and I mean, you even talk about it. You're like, I don't feel good today. Yeah. Like, and that's as authentic as you can get. And I think it's such a beautiful thing because it connects you to other people. Mm. And that's what drives the like entrepreneur spirit where it's like, oh, I want to hire you because I connect with you. So,
yeah. Yeah. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. I'm so proud of you. I still like cannot believe it's been a year. This year has flown by.
Yeah. It really has flown by. And honestly, I think that I'm still in the spot where I'm like, you know, I don't know what this podcast will be. I don't know if I'll ever move out of this seasonal format. I mean, like I said, hockey never ends. And so it's like, this works really well for my life right now, but I love having this space to share and to kind of be creative and to speak out into not the void, but to, you know, sort of like just to test things and be creative and be playful and try things and encourage people. And I'm just grateful that like the podcast is here to allow me to do that. And I'm grateful for friends like you who let me do that on the regular basis too, outside of the podcast. And I think that as a business owner, I never understood really when people were like, business ownership is so lonely, because like I've had people since the beginning.
Yeah.
Since I said, I'm going to do this thing and left my pension, left the classroom and freaked my parents out. Since I did that, business ownership has never felt lonely for me because of people like you and because of people like our coaches and because of just women in our circle, in our network. And if you don't have that as a business owner, you got to go find it, because I can't imagine doing this alone.
Yeah. No, it's not good. It's not fun. I've done both. And when I was in the wedding industry, it was very much alone. Never, I didn't even know that like conferences and retreats were a thing. I had no idea that education was a thing even. Like I just stayed in my own lane. And then to go from that to this massive, like amazing community of women who lift each other up and support each other is phenomenal. And I love that you get to do that through your podcast and create this like bridge to like someone who may feel alone listening to your podcast and you encouraging them like, go find somebody, go find your person, like go find a group or, you know, a whatever.
Yeah.
And community is, you know, that's the greatest gift in entrepreneurship.
For sure. Thank you, friend, for being here. I'm so grateful for you.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. Everybody, thanks so much for listening. This is your copywriter on call signing off.
Thanks for listening to the Copywriter On Call podcast. If this episode has you feeling all sorts of inspired to show up as yourself online, click that subscribe button so you don't miss my stories or practical advice to help you express your quirky, vulnerable, and authentic self online. Chat soon.